welcome again. Because yesterday, some of us, we met online as we started praises and prayers to wrap up the 50 days of fasting. So we thank God because of the grace the Lord has given to as many of us as participated in that fast. I know some of us, maybe we were not able to do the whole 50, or some of us, you are not able to take it to 6 o'clock. But the fact that you made efforts and your faithfulness is what matters to God. And because of that, we want to say thank you, all of you. And we say the Lord that you have seek for these 50 days, he will answer you speedily in the name of Jesus. And as many as could not take part because of one thing or the other, we pray that the Lord will strengthen you in the name of Jesus. Next year, God will give you the grace to be able to take part in Jesus' name. It's not because, oh, July. Okay, we have another one in July. That one is 20 days. That's very short. 20 days fast. And that one is from 6 to 6. I'm just adding my own. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, after 50 days, what next? After 50 days, what next? I'm going to be giving us some exhortation tonight, or just a little exhortation. And by way of just giving it a title, I want to look at faith, a criterion for living a victorious life. Faith, a criterion for living a victorious life. What is criterion? What does that mean? It means, the way I want to use it, it means essential, something very important to living a victorious life. The past 50 days that we've been fasting, one of the purposes of that fast is to be able to be victorious. Because this year is tagged a year of open door. So we believe door of opportunities are open for us. Doors of breakthroughs, doors of healings, doors of deliverance, doors of miracles. Every good door is opened. And we want to walk in faith into that doors, or into those doors that are opened. But to be able to walk in faith to that door or to those doors that have been opened, and to be able to live victoriously, we need faith. And that is what we want to talk about before we pray. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. And we are going to be reading from verse 21 to 22. Matthew 21, from verse 21 to 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, we have gone into the journey of 50 days, and we have returned by the grace of God. Remember our topic, we are talking about faith, a criterion for living a victorious life. Now, I said we have two types of faith. We have saving faith, and we have living faith. I'm not going to be talking about saving faith today. All we are going to be talking about for this short period is going to be living faith. So, what is faith? We know the common Bible passage for faith. Anytime we talk about faith, our mind goes straight to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 2, defines faith as the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. In verse 2, it says, this is what the ancients were commended for. So, faith is the confidence in what we hope for. It's the assurance about what we do not see. So 50 days we've been praying, we've been asking God for different things. We've been telling God all the doors that we want God to open. We have not seen that. But this passage is saying, having faith that we are going to receive those that we have prayed about. I have another definition. Another definition says, faith is a firm belief in something for which there may be no tangible proof. Faith is a firm belief in something for which there may be no tangible proof. It is a complete trust, a complete confidence, a complete reliance, a complete devotion. I will say that again. Faith is a complete trust, a complete confidence, a complete reliance, or a complete devotion. Hence, faith is opposite doubt. So faith is not opposite unbelief. Faith is opposite doubt. The final definition that I have, or another definition that I have, is faith is an assurance and confidence in God and Jesus Christ. Faith is assurance and confidence in God and in Jesus Christ. Remember, I told you there are two types of faith, living faith and saving faith. And I said we are going to be talking about living faith. So living faith that we are talking about now is not just believing about God, that, oh, God exists. You know, when somebody was asking Jesus about that, Jesus said, even the demons, they believe that God exists and they tremble. And it's not, I'm not talking about the faith that Jesus said, if you believe me, you will go to heaven. That's sure. But I'm talking about the belief that God can do whatever he promised, even when everything around you spells opposites. Faith that makes you to think, I know this God because he has promised he's going to do it. Even though I have not seen it, even though everything that surrounds me is saying it's not going to come to pass, but because I have that faith in that God, I am very sure the Lord will bring it to come to pass. Now the final definition, and it's from Modern Dictionary. It says, faith is an unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. So faith is an unquestioning belief which does not require proof or evidence. You know, the world we are today, when you speak to people, they will tell you, give me the evidence. You talk about God to people, they will tell you, I cannot rationalize it. And because they think they cannot rationalize it, they will tell you, it doesn't happen. Some people will say, I'm an atheist. And you ask, how they become an atheist? They will tell you, because I cannot see any evidence to believe. And some will say, I'm an agnostic. An agnostic is somebody who says, give me every evidence to believe God, I will believe him. You don't give me enough evidence, then there's no reason to believe your God. So some people will tell you they started from Sunday school, they started from Christian home. But as they continue to grow along the line, they miss it. And they say, you need to be able to prove God. But what this dictionary is saying is, faith is an unquestionable belief. And I want you to take note of that word, unquestionable belief, that it does not even require any proof. And that is what faith is. And that is why we say faith is opposite of doubt. Now, why are we talking about faith? After we have prayed and we have fasted for 50 days. We are talking about faith here because we believe everything that we have prayed for. I believe anyway that God will do it. But after that 40 days or 50 days that we just did, if everything you pray for, or you know, the time you are very in the Lord, so to say, because you are fasting, you are walking in the Lord. But after that 50 days, when you waited, and it seems what you have prayed for is not forthcoming, will you still be able to keep believing? Or will you just look at it and say, maybe it's not the will of God. Last year I prayed the same thing. The other year the same thing. I'm not even sure the Lord will do it. That is doubt. And it's opposite faith. And that is why we are looking at faith. Very important. It's a criterion. If you want to walk into dominion that the Lord has given unto us. Why is faith important? In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, we cannot please God. And for us to be able to accept anything or to be able to achieve anything in life, we must be able to please God. So which means, if I have no faith, I cannot please God. And if I cannot please God, there's no how God we open that door for me, or the door that he opened, I will be able to go into that door victoriously. That is one reason why we need, why faith is very, very important. I said, when we walk by faith, it means we are not thinking about using our five senses. Children, I know you understand when we talk about five senses that we people normally use, you know what they are. We talk about taste, we talk about feelings, we talk about touch. What else do we talk about? Yes, hearing and smelling. So all those five, and they are very important. But the Bible says something. The Bible said, we do not walk by sight. So faith is the ability to trust God without the proof of those five senses that we are talking about. And those are the ways that people prove things, using the five senses. Now, even when those five senses are telling you that it's not like that, faith will tell you, you can still do it. You can still go that way because the Lord will be with you. You know, we have physical eyes to see. But sometimes you think about it, there are people that are physically blind, but spiritually they are not blind. So even when our physical eyes could not see the goodness that the Lord has planned for you, and that would be one of our prayers today, that God, open my inner eyes. That physically I may not be able to see it, but spiritually, I want to see that door that you've opened. And when you cannot touch it, because that promise that the Lord had made is not tangible yet, we will pray later that God, open my inner hand, that I will be able to touch in the spiritual realm that which you, Lord, you have promised and you have provided for me. And that will be our portion in Jesus' name. Quickly, before we go to prayer, we will look at some instances of how faith is demonstrated in the Bible. And as a result of that, those people got their miracles. We will just touch some, not many of them, because we have so many. In John 11, verses 43 to 44, John 11, 43 to 44, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. When he was sick, his sisters, they sent to Jesus, they told Jesus, our brother is sick, please come and heal him. Jesus was delayed, and he died. And on the 4th day, Jesus told his disciples, let's go and see Lazarus' family. And when he got there, they told him, oh, your friend was dead 4 days ago. He's already smelling. And Jesus said, yes, I still want to go to his burial ground. And people were following Jesus, just like the custom of the Israelites. They were crying, weeping, following him. When they got to the graveyard, the way they built their graveyard, they built like houses, they just put the people there, and they roll a big stone outside to cover it. And one of the sisters of Lazarus told Jesus, Master, he must be smelling now, because he's been gone for 4 days. That was what Mary said. But Jesus said, I still want to go there. When Jesus went there, remember what Mary said, he must have been smelling. And Jesus told everyone there, after he had prayed, he said, roll the stone away. Now, I see faith here being demonstrated. Already they knew this man was dead, completely dead, buried for 4 days. But Jesus came and he said, just take away the stone. Obedience. They didn't say, why, Lord? Neither did they say, hey, God, or Lord, or Master, as they used to call him. He's dead for 4 days. Do you want to, you want the smell to kill everybody here? No. They obeyed. They rolled the stone. And the Bible recorded that Jesus called out to Lazarus, and a dead man for 4 days came alive. That is faith in action. If they had refused, or if Mary or Martha had come to Jesus and said, no, Lord, we are not going to roll that stone. Do you want everybody here to be smelling that bad smell? I'm very sure Lazarus would not have been risen. Faith being demonstrated. Another one is in Mark 5, 34. Mark 5, 34. Mark 5, 34. Is the story of a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. The Bible recorded that this woman had spent everything that she had, but there was no cure. But one day she had noises, and she asked, what is that noise about? And they said Jesus was passing by. And she said in her mind, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be made whole. That's it. And that's faith in action. And Jesus knew that this woman had already proposed in her mind to receive her healing that day. So when she touched the cloth, miracle happened in her life. We are talking about faith. I don't want you to look at that story as story. I want you to keep applying that story to your life, as I do to my own life as well. Another one is in Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, verses 18 to 26. Luke 5, 18 to 26. It's a story of a paralyzed man. And they've spent everything on this man. And his friend, he had 4 friends now. His friend heard the story that Jesus was passing by. And they said, you know what? This is our friend. I mean, it's our friend. We used to eat together, go out together. Now he had become a liability. Now, to take away this liability, we need to take him to Jesus. Remember, the first two that we talked about, it was the people that had the faith that got the miracle. But in this case, it was a transferable faith. It was the friends that got that faith. They said, if we take our friend to Jesus Christ, our friend will be made whole. And that was exactly what they did. The Bible said they even had so many obstacles because there were so many people and they could not get to Jesus. What did they do? One of them lamp to the roof of the house, and they took all the sink down, and they lowered their friends down from the roof, right in front of Jesus. Faith in action. Now, what am I bringing out here? Sometimes we have issues. Sometimes we have challenges. And we've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And it's like, there's no solution. Do you know that joint faith can bring solution as well? So the challenge is, don't keep your problem to yourself. Share with people that you know can pray with you, that they will be able to pray with you, that they will be able to understand what you are going through. And in faith, they will join hands with you. The friend of this man, they were the one that brought about the miracle of the man, because their faith made Jesus to heal the man. Another one was Mark 3:1-6. Mark 3:1-6. It's a man with a withered hand. The Bible said, this man, his hand, he cannot use his hand for so many years. And Jesus was teaching on Sabbath day, that Saturday, in the temple. And everybody was thinking, will he heal this man? Because in Israel, they are not allowed to walk on the Sabbath. And healing is a walk. So they were thinking, murmuring, oh, we'll see what this man will do, whether he's going to break the law today. And Jesus knew, he perceived this. The Bible said, Jesus told the man, stretch your hand. Now, if the man whose hand has withered for so many years, and somebody just come to him and said, stretch that hand, you know, the first reaction of anyone would be, does he not know who I am? Does he not know that this hand cannot be stretched for so many years? How come now that he's telling me to stretch that hand? But the Bible recorded that, and the man stretched the hand, and he was made whole. So faith is assurance of things that is not seen. It is evidence of something that we hope for. So these people, they receive their miracles as a result of faith. In John 5:5-17, in John 5:1-17, I like that story. It's the miracle of the man that was paralyzed for 38 years. And every time he's been on the riverside, because they said that river, every year there used to be miracles there. So people would go to the river when they are sick, and by the time they come out, they will be healed. But this man was there for 38 years. No help, no solution. And when Jesus came to him and Jesus told him, do you want to be made whole? Remember, this man did not know Jesus from Adam. He had never seen Jesus. Maybe he had not even heard about Jesus. Some guy just came and said, oh, you've been here for that long. Do you want to be made whole? And the man was looking at Jesus. Instead of saying yes, the man said, ha, I've been here for 38 years. The same way some of us, when God said, tell me your story, all we say, oh God, you know my problem. You know when I was born. You know the problem that has been facing my family. All God wants you to say is, what do you want me to do for you? That was what Jesus was asking this man. Do you want to be made whole? But the man kept on telling stories. Maybe he was thinking, Jesus will have pity and carry him to that river, because he didn't know who Jesus was. But Jesus told the man, rise up. Remember, the man had been there 38 solid years. And Jesus was telling him, just stand up. 38 years, he had never stood. And somebody just say, stand up. The Bible said, and immediately, the man got up. Faith in action. If it were to be, some of us will say, he told me to stand up. How will I even stand up? I don't even know how to stand up anymore. For 38 years, I've been like this. Oh, how will I do it? Which leg will I take first? Oh, how? Maybe I could sit. I will try it. The man said, the Bible said, immediately, The man got up. The lesson there. Sometimes, God may want us to stand up from that position we have been for a long time. And we might have looked at the situation surrounding us and everything around us, and we are saying, God, how will I stand up? God, how will I go to that place? God, how will I make it this way or that way? But when God is saying, stand up, arise. Faith will give you the ability to do what is not natural. So the man stood up and the man received his healing. Faith gives us peace of mind. Faith gives peace of mind. Faith gives us joy. Faith gives us hope. If there's no faith, then all the 50 days that we've been praying is useless. And that is what I want you to take home this evening. That all the prayers we've prayed for that long, please seal it with faith. When God tells you to do things that under normal circumstances you will say, I will not do it, please go for it. When God will tell you to take a step, even though everything around you is saying, hey, you are not sure of that step, you are not sure where it will lead to, please, in faith, go for it. As long as you're sure it is God that is leading you to that direction. In the book of James, James was telling the Christians there, because those days Christians were being persecuted. And James was encouraging them. And he was telling them, in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, I'm reading this because in the process of having that faith, trials will come. Temptations will come. There will be so many obstacles. So many things will come your way that we say, you cannot do it. So many things will come your way that will make you to think, is God really going to answer this prayer? But as we read, God is faithful. He has promised and is going to do it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The main lessons that I want us to take home today is, after these 50 days, be obedient to God. Be obedient to whatever instruction the Lord has given you. Wait patiently for God to perform his miracles. And your testimony will be full in Jesus' name. I say your testimonies will be full in Jesus' name. Now we want to bow our head and want to pray. I have some prayer points that we want to pray about. So I want us to bow our head now and pray. First of all, I want us to thank God for the grace that the Lord has given to you for these 50 days. Give God praises because it has been God all the way. Thank God for the time that you are tired and you still kept going. Thank God because of those times that you don't feel like fasting, but the Lord has helped you. I want you to give God glory, Father. We just say thank you. Lord, we honor you. We adore you. We say there's no one like you, Father. You are faithful. Everlasting Father, we just say thank you. Thank you for the strength. Thank you, Lord, because of the grace that you've given unto us. Because we know there's nothing that we can receive without your help. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. I want us to pray and say, God, increase my faith. Help me to trust you, whether it makes sense or not. I want you to pray that prayer and say, God, help me. Help me to trust you, Lord. After these 50 days, I don't want to go back to my time of doubting. I don't want to go back to that time of unbelief. I want you, Lord, to help me. Help me to trust you. Sometimes I want to do it. I struggle. Father, I want you to help me. Help me, Lord, to be able to trust you, whether it makes sense or not. In Jesus' name we pray. Also, I want us to pray and say, God, Help me to trust you. Even though I am not, what I'm expecting has not come true. That's the time of waiting. So, Lord, help me at the time of my waiting, that, Lord, I will keep trusting. I will not just trust you and just leave it there. Every day, every moment, Father, I will keep trusting you. Whether what I'm praying for has come to pass or not, I will still continue to trust you. Father, help me. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In continuation, I want you to tell God and say, Father, help me to be obedient. When you ask me to do anything at the process of this faith journey, I want you to help me, Lord, that I will be obedient to you in the name of Jesus. I want you to tell God also that even this time of my waiting, Lord, as I expectantly wait for that which you have promised me, Lord, you will help me not to sin against you in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, I will not sin against you. You know, disobedience is a sin. That's what the book of First Samuel said. It said disobedience is like a sin of witchcraft. That's what the Bible said there. So, pray that God, you will help me. Help me not to sin against you. Help me not to disobey you. Help me not to disobey your word in the name of Jesus. Even as I wait expectantly for answers to come for my prayers, help me, Lord, to remain obedient to you in the name of Jesus. In addition, I want us to say, Lord, help me. Help me to recognize the open doors that you have made before me. Because it's one thing to pray, it's another thing for God to have answered and you didn't know that the answer has come. So I want us to say, Father, you will help me. Help me, Lord. Help my inner eyes to be open so that I will know when that door is open and I will be able to walk into that dominion that you have brought for me in the name of Jesus. Say, God, Father, my inner eyes, my spiritual eyes will be open, my spiritual ears will be open, Lord, that I will hear what you, Lord, you are saying to me part time in the name of Jesus. Father, I will not be dumb, I will not be deaf, Lord. That, Father, I will hear you clearly when you, Lord, you are giving me instruction. Father, you will help me in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, that I will feel your touch, the touch of comfort, the gentle touch, that you, Lord, you are going to touch me this year and all my distress will vanish. The touch that you are going to touch me and all my disease will disappear. The touch of the Holy Spirit that all my doubts will vanish. Father, help me, Lord, to receive this touch from you, this spiritual touch of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. I want you also to pray and say, Father, help me to taste of your goodness this year. People have been giving testimony day in, day out. Father, I want to taste of that goodness as well. Remember, we are talking about five senses, and we are now talking about the spiritual five senses now. Father, help me to taste of your goodness. I want to taste of your goodness, Lord. I want to taste of your miracle, Lord. I don't want to be listening to people's testimonies every Sunday without me coming out to give mine. Father, help me, Lord. I want to taste of your goodness in the name of Jesus. Thank God. Send your angel to minister to me in the name of Jesus. The Bible made it clear that the angels, they are ministering agents. So God is sending them every moment to different Christians and they are ministering to their needs. I want you to say, Father, let it be my turn today that you will send your angel to minister to my need. You know my need. If you know it, say, God, your need. And say, Father, it is my turn, Lord. I want you to send your angel to minister to my needs in the name of Jesus. Say, God, Father, you will meet my spiritual need, you will meet my physical need, you will meet my material need, you will meet my financial need, you will meet my sociological need, you will meet my psychological need in the name of Jesus. The Lord knows you better than you know yourself. I want you to tell God, Father, these are my needs today. Send your ministry angels to minister to my needs in the name of Jesus. When God wanted to deliver the Israelites, he sent angel to Manon, the wife of Manon, and Gideon was born. Samson was born. When the Lord wanted to minister to Israel again, he sent to Gideon an angel. An angel of the Lord met Gideon, and Gideon became a powerful person. I want you to tell God, I don't know your need. God knows. That particular area of your need, that God will send his angel to meet that need now. When Jesus was about to be born, an angel was sent to Mary in order to deliver the good news. I want you to tell God, Father, today, let it be my day. You will send the ministering angel to come and minister to my needs in the name of Jesus. Lord, let me be among people that will sing a new song to you this year in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to be among those people. I don't know what you are believing God for. I just want you to know this evening that the Lord is here. The Lord is listening to you. The Lord is ready to do it. He said he's going to bring to performance that which he had promised concerning you. I just want you to hold on to him. Do not be discouraged. Whatever the situation is, it's just a season. It's going to pass by. I want you to tell God today and say, Father, I want to be among the people that will sing a new song this year in the name of Jesus Christ. Also, I want you to tell God and say, Father, because we've been praying for ourselves, tell God, Father, make me a channel of blessing to others. You know, you cannot be a channel of blessing if you are not blessed. You have to be blessed to be a channel of blessing to others. You pray for your own blessing. I want you to say, Father, you will make me a channel of blessing. So many people are in need in this country, in this city, in my local area. Father, I want you to help me. Make me a channel of blessing unto others in the name of Jesus. On that aspect, I want you to tell God, you know, to be a channel of blessing, to be blessed by God, there's one thing that is very key, and that is our relationship with God must be in the right order. So I want you to pray this evening and say, God, if there's anything in my life that will not allow you to bless me, or will not allow me to be a channel of blessing, Lord, today I believe. Father, take it away in the name of Jesus. Remember, Jesus is there, Holy Spirit is here, and is ready to hear you, whatever you are saying to him right now. He is close to you than you think. He's just right there beside you. I want you to say, Father, help me. Anything that I am doing, the Lord knows you than you know yourself. Tell God, Father, take this particular thing away. It might be addiction, it might be the behavior, it might be anything that you know is against the will and the plan of God for your life. Just tell God, Father, in the name of Jesus, take this away, Lord. I want to be blessed, Lord. I want to be blessed today. I want to be blessed tomorrow. I want to be blessed every day of my life. To be able to do that, Father, take this particular sin away from me in the name of Jesus. Help me to have a close relationship with you. Help me to have a close walk with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord. I cannot help myself. Father, I come before you tonight. I want you to help me. I want you, Lord, to deliver me in the name of Jesus Christ. Also, I want us to say, Lord, help every Christian in this city, in this nation, to be able to stand up as the light of the world, which you, Lord, you call us. The Bible says you are the light of the world in Matthew chapter 5. But today we see that fear has dominated the hearts of many Christians. And the Bible says fear dominates the heart where faith has been surrendered. It's not the Bible, it's one of the preachers that says that. Fear dominates the heart where faith has been surrendered. I want us to pray and say, God, rekindle our faith again in the name of Jesus. To all Christians in this nation, Father, rekindle our faith in the name of Jesus. Help us to be able to stand for you when we're supposed to stand up for you in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to preach the word when we are supposed to, in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid of anything, because you say you've not given us the spirit of fear. You have given us the spirit of sonship. You've given us the spirit of love. And that is why we can say, Abba, Father. I want you to say, Father, every Christian in this country, give us faith, living faith. And as you are giving us that faith, Father, you will revive us again in this country in the name of Jesus. Pray for every Christian in this country that God will revive us again. If all Christians in this country are revived, this country will change for the Lord. So I want us to say, Father, change every one of us, Lord. Revive us again in the name of Jesus. Us, Lord, help this country to come back to you, Lord. This country was a Christian country in those days. Father, Lord, help this country, help our leaders to recognize their position, to come back to you, Lord, like a prodigal son, to come back to their father. Lord, every time, every day, your hands are open. You are waiting for this country to come back to you. Father, today, let this country, let our leaders recognize their position, that they are not slaves, they are children of God. And they will come back to you in the name of Jesus. Father, let revival break forth in this country in the name of Jesus. We pray for your revival, Lord. Let revival break forth in the name of Jesus. Thank God, Father, we need revival in this country. Let revival break forth. Let that revival start from me, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let that revival start from my family, in the name of Jesus. Thank God, Father, I want that revival to start from me, to start from my family. Father, let that revival start from my church, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Everlasting Father, that revival, I want it to start from city of Lesser, in the name of Jesus. Finally, Lord, let that revival, let it go all over this nation. Oh, Lord God, we are praying that there will be revival in this country. Great Britain will be great again in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you today because you have been good, so, so, so good to us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come before the throne of grace to say, Abba, Father. We thank you, Lord, because the Bible says the nobles of this world, they want this opportunity, is not given to them. For counting us worthy to call you Father, we appreciate that. We say, Lord, accept our praises in the name of Jesus. Everlasting Father, we've tendered our request before you tonight with humility of heart, Lord. We have told you, Lord, about our weaknesses. Many a times we want to have faith, but things come along our ways, Lord, and we start doubting. Father, tonight we come, Lord, with humble heart, and we say, Lord, at the time of our weakness, Father, give us grace in the name of Jesus. Everlasting Father, at those moments when you want us to be able to stand forth for you and we are sleeping like the disciples in those days, Father, be merciful unto us in the name of Jesus. Everlasting Father, at those times that you want us to launch forth and we are doubting, like Peter who saw the storm and he shifted his gaze from you and he looked at the storm and the Bible recorded that he was sinking. Father, at the time that we might have shifted our gaze from you, please, Lord, as you show mercy to Peter and you lifted him up, Father, you will lift us up in the name of Jesus. Everlasting Father, it is our will, Lord, it is our prayer, Lord, that we want to walk in obedience to you. We want to walk close to you. We want to walk by faith, Lord. Father, we want to have faith that is not shaking, Lord. But Father, many a times, our flesh are very weak. At those periods, Lord, please, Father, show mercy in the name of Jesus. Every promise that you have made concerning us, Lord God, make them to come to pass in the name of Jesus. Whether it is through our faith or the faith of other people that join with our faith, or even your own faith, Jesus, that you transferred into our lives. Father, all we are praying for tonight is every good promise that you have made concerning us, Lord, this year you will make them come to pass in the name of Jesus. Father, give us testimony this year in the name of Jesus. Lord God, perhaps we have one person or the other that has not had that close relationship with you. Jesus, you said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You said, I will give you rest. I pray tonight for rest for such a person in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, as from today, you will not labor in vain anymore in the name of Jesus. Because the mercy of God will find you in Jesus' name. Every desire of your heart. And you have been saying, if God is good, he should have done this, he should have done that. I pray in the name of Jesus that the Lord will start to show forth himself in a miraculous ways in your life in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Father, we give you praises. As we go today, Father, we are going in your name. We pray your abiding presence will be with us in Jesus' name. We will not be victim of any bad circumstance in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord, even in this cold weather, your grace will be sufficient for every one of us in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We give you praises. We say, be thou exalted. In Jesus' name, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray.